Hey anime friends, Phoenix here. Thank you again for listening to the podcast version of this video. You can find the full video available on the Anime Tea on YouTube. And yeah, if you're listening on Spotify and you want to see the video version, you can do that on there. And if not, listen up, have a good time, and let me know your thoughts on Twitter, on YouTube, or wherever you want to leave your comments and thoughts. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. It's you. You're the reason shoujo anime is dying. I mean, I can't completely blame you. You may have not cared or noticed where your romance anime came from, so long as you got your fix, but you can't tell me that some things are starting to look a little off in the world of romance anime. I mean, why do so many recent romance anime look like this and not like this? Where's the fourth wall-breaking humor of reverse harems, the magical girls that weren't obsessed with killing each other, and the political romance dramas with crazy love triangles? What happened to all our favorite shoujo stories told in anime? Well, they're dying, and it's all my and your fault. Welcome anime friends, as always grab your cup because it's time to spill the anime tea. Today we're going to be diving into the sad, dying world of shoujo anime and why that is. Let's begin. I'm going to be throwing around a couple of terms, so I'm going to go ahead and define them really quick in order to avoid any confusion. We're going to be mostly talking about shoujo and josei manga and anime. This is a type of content that is geared towards a specific audience. Shoujo means geared towards young girls, and josei geared towards young adult women or adult women, and shonen and seinen, which is the exact opposite, geared towards young boys and geared towards young adult men, respectively. Most anime fans are familiar with popular shonen series. I mean, I shouldn't even have to name them. You probably can think of a couple just right off the top of your head if you think of anime. The shoujo series may be a little bit harder to define, so I'm going to go ahead and throw out a couple of names and talk about a few decades in which shoujo anime really began to blossom and pop up on our television and computer screens. Starting with the 1990s and 2000s, we got series such as Sailor Moon, Fushigi Yugi, that one almost incest series with the boy who loved marmalade, or in High School Host Club, like my shirt, The Wallflower, Full Moon Osagishite, Nana, Kimi ni Todoke, and that one incest vampire anime. Okay, besides those weird incest tropes, we got some pretty good anime series. They're both hilarious, heartbreaking, heartwarming, and full of romance and drama. The success of these series went on to inspire even more series in the 2010s. Series like Say I Love You, Ore Monogatari, Yona of the Dawn, Snow White with the Red Hair, Wotakoi, and reboots of Banana Fish and Fruits Basket, which are probably in the top of shoujo anime if you ask anyone on TikTok. But despite having such memorable and amazing series, these most recent series are actually the ones that foreshadowed the current state of shoujo anime today, because those series tended to not get fully complete seasons or multiple seasons. So what is happening to shoujo anime? Well, if you didn't guess at the beginning of the video, I was actually reading myself down because I felt personally attacked after watching this video called The Decline of Shoujo Anime by Colleen's Manga Rex, in which they break down and talk about the possible reasons why shoujo anime is in the decline and kind of debunk some myths. And I learned some things from that video that really just blew my mind and inspired me to make this video. So I highly recommend that you go watch that video. I'll leave it in the description. It'll be somewhere up here in a little card. But I'm going to be adding on to that video and breaking down some more reasons why shoujo anime is possibly dying. People might think that because shoujo anime is not very popular or there's not that many series that are being produced or adapted from shoujo manga, that therefore shoujo manga is not very popular right now. And that, I have to say, is a huge lie, because in actuality, shoujo manga is doing great. It has always been doing really well. Even romance series, though, in 2020 have still been in the top of manga charts alongside some notable shonen series. For example, a josei manga series known as Wotakoi, Love is Hard for Otaku, sold 1.29 million copies in 2020 and beat out a popular shonen series known as We Never Learn Bokuben, which only sold 798,000 in 2020. Yet if you compare the anime of the two, Wotakoi has only had one season and an OVA that isn't really licensed anywhere to watch locally in the US, and Bokuben has had two seasons completely licensed and published on Crunchyroll. Another example, Honey Lemon Soda is a manga yet to get an anime adaptation, yet it sold over 1.28 million copies in 2020, as compared to Blue Lock, a shonen sports manga, which has sold 1.24 million copies in 2020 and which will get an adaptation sometime in 2022. My point with this is clearly there is a demand for shoujo and josei manga, so therefore there is demand for shoujo josei anime. Yet why are we getting so few adaptations of series like this? And when we do get adaptations, why are they never completed? Why do they never get fully adapted? I believe there's three possible reasons why companies are not fully adapting and creating shoujo and josei romance anime series anymore. The first has to do with marketability. The second has to do with the myth that shoujo and josei romance in particular is dying. And the third has to do with us, the fans, and how we play into not getting more adaptations for shoujo and josei anime. We're actually going to be starting backwards with the main culprits, the main reason I made this video, which is us, the fans. One of the biggest things that I noticed in Colleen's video is that they mentioned an Anime News Network article in which Crunchyroll was talking to a marketer in Japan about the rise of romance and shoujo anime and how it's becoming more popular here in the US. A lot of the romance anime series that are being published are getting a lot of views and are very popular in their respective seasons. Part of the reason why this might be the case that Colleen brought up is because fans of shoujo and josei are now watching these romance shonen seinen series because that's all that is being adapted. Therefore, that's all that there's out there to watch and easily access. And that blew my mind because I realized that I do that. I watch all these shonen seinen romance anime shows because I miss my shoujo slice of life comedy shows that used to come up so often in my Crunchyroll feed a long, long time ago. Instead of finding those, I find shows that are similar to that, even though they are technically shonen and seinen series. And this is a big deal because in the article, the representative mentioned how popular these romance series are, and most of these romance series that are coming out today that are really popular are actually shonen and seinen adapted series. Specifically, they mentioned My Dress Up Darling, which I personally think is a bad example, only because there's other reasons why My Dress Up Darling is really popular, and I don't think it has much to do with shoujo and josei fans, because just look at episode 2, that's all I'm gonna say. But what I do think is a good example are shows like Horimiya and Kaguya-sama Love is War, which both are kind of slice of life romantic comedies that kind of play off the color schemes and the trope of slice of life shoujo romances that we used to get back in the early 2000s. So a major theory that I have is that new and casual anime fans who are just going in and watching, you know, romances and finding whatever they can find are not really paying attention to the fact that most of these are not shoujo or josei series. That wouldn't be a very big of a problem if it weren't for the decline of shoujo series that we are now getting because these other series are getting so popular in their place. But I'm not saying that all fans are totally oblivious. I mean, like, I even knew that certain shows were shonen and I still watch them anyway. Like, it's perfectly fine to watch whatever you want. It doesn't matter the demographic that it's originally made for. The problem that I've noticed, and I'm sure that other fans have noticed as well, is that when you go in to watch some of these shonen seinen slice of life romances, they tend to have specific archetypes that are a little redundant, unnecessary, and kind of creepy. For example, in a lot of shonen and seinen romances, you're gonna see a lot of just giant anime yetis all up in your face all the time.
Hey, this is Phoenix from the future here. I'm editing this video and realizing that I forgot to mention a part here that is needed in order to tie in the two different aspects that I'm mentioning, so I'm gonna do that right now.
Despite getting more series that focus on multiple perspectives and are trying to appeal to a more broad audience, we still have characters in most shonen and seinen romances that have specific body proportions or character tropes. But why is it that character archetypes that we used to see in shoujo and josei series don't seem to make the cut, while these other tropes do? For example, what happened to the bishonen boys we used to get in Clamp series and other shoujo series where we had tall, handsome boys who had long fingers for whatever reason? Why are we not getting those as much as compared to some of the other tropes that we get in a lot of these other
shonen seinen series.
Actually, wait, hold up, wait a minute. What about this? What about this guy? What is up with Gojo Satoru? Why does he look like he just walked out of a Clamp Bishoujo manga? This is the second part to my theory. Anime is moving in this direction where they're trying to really lean into this universally appealing content in which everything is neutralized and a more generalized audience can watch it. Now, it sounds like I just said a bunch of basically what I mean is that anime studios and companies are taking parts of archetypes from certain series. So they're taking like the pretty Bishoujo boys from Shoujo and putting them into the hard action series of Shonen to kind of give audiences a bit of both worlds. The reason for this is because the more they do this, the more likely a series is to be popular and have a more wide, broad fan base. Some series that really heavily play off of this aspect are Jujutsu Kaisen, like I said, with Satoru Gojo, but also Spy Family recently definitely plays off of this, both having a really attractive male and female adult characters. Anime is moving towards a more universal approach to romance storytelling in which they don't specifically focus on stories that come from the perspective of young girls or adult women or people that are not just young adolescent men. Shoujo and seinen manga used to have very specific aspects that defined who they were marketed to, but now it seems studios and creators are blurring the line between the two to attract a more broader audience. Using my favorite series, Kaguya-sama Love is War, as an example, despite being a seinen series, actually has very little traditional fan service, which you would see in a lot of shonen seinen series. Like My Dress Up Darling, if you compare it to that, and explores like multiple perspectives. Like we don't just get to see through Shinomiya's eyes, we also get to see through Kaguya's perspective as well, and their like warring, ridiculous battle against one another. And it's hilarious and it's funny, and they also like make fun of the tropes that were popular in the early 2000s in shoujo anime, and those that are popular and funny in modern shonen anime as well. So it really kind of combines all the good and bad things of romance and makes fun of it. And this is more profitable than you might realize, because the Kaguya-sama Love is War movie that premiered in 2019 in Japan alone made $18 million off of ticket sales. So now you're probably asking, okay, what's the problem? Clearly there is romance anime out there that already exists. It's doing well. Who cares if it's not shoujo anime? And isn't it better anyway, because it's a more general audience, more people can enjoy it, and we don't have to stick to these traditional stereotypes of girls like girly things and boys like boy things, right?
Wrong!
Most of the shonen romance and seinen romance out there isn't like Kaguya-sama Love is War. It's actually still very much geared towards the audience that it's originally intended for. This is a problem because it's ignoring a medium that's not generalized enough, yet is continuing to promote another medium that is very specific. Like I said, many of the popular shonen romance anime series are very much geared towards horny high school boys. I mean, not all series, you know, are like Rent-A-Girlfriend or Domestic Girlfriend or any of those other girlfriend titties, any titles. A lot of them still are. And despite there being series that combine waifu fodder and actually good romance storytelling, like My Dress Up Darling, for example, which I made a whole video on that I break down if you want to check that out, it's still not the same. Because audiences who just are looking for a wholesome slice of life romance series are going to be subject to half-naked teenagers, basic bitch, straight male protagonists, and very little change in perspective. Many audiences who enjoy romance in anime don't always want these redundant, kind of useless throwaway tropes that keep getting put in the anime and keep getting animated for some reason. So why is it this way? Basically, I believe the anime market is heading towards more adaptations of popular shows that have dedicated fan bases that will pay a lot, aka lots of people who subscribe to shonen content, shonen seinen series, tend to pay more, tend to buy more merchandise than jose or shoujo anime. This, coupled with anime's kind of focus on universal storytelling, means that all of the profitability and the marketability is going towards these two main types of content. We need different perspectives to understand the world better, to understand people who are different from us, and to understand each other, because that's what stories do. They are ever changing and dynamic, and they show us a perspective that we may not have seen anywhere else. We can't just be all stuck in tournament arc battles for representation all the time. And that's another thing, representation. It's not just about the color of a character's skin or the way that they look or act, but the representation and diversity of stories that are told help people understand the world better, help people understand themselves better, and help us imagine a world that is not our own. People who love shoujo and josei anime series or manga series also tend to really like shonen and seinen anime and manga series. These series, despite being gendered or marketed as gendered, were not really exclusive. Everyone can love them and watch them and cosplay them and fan art them and do whatever they want with them, to a degree. Things can be more general, but not everything needs to be general. Like, specific stories still need to be told, individual stories, individuality still needs to be expressed in storytelling. So why is it that companies are so hard-pressed to stick with stories that are universal and geared towards general audiences or already have high-paying fan bases? Well, the reason for anything in life, money. Is shoujo marketable enough? I don't really want to sound entitled because I know that there is a huge bottleneck of workers and pay and lots of kind of hard, terrible things are going on in the anime industry behind the scenes of some of our favorite shows and series. So I'm not gonna sit here and be like, give me shoujo anime just because I talked about it on the internet and I want it. I know that it's not that easy to just make a series, especially like these high art, high level animations that are being made for these series, take a lot of time, effort, and work, and they take a lot of life force out of the people that are making them. This concept of overwork that plagues the anime industry in Japan leads to limitations and production issues, not just in shoujo anime, but even the most popular and more profitable series are having production issues. Attack on Titan, the series 86 last year had a huge production issue where it had to delay the last two episodes of its season for like a couple of months. Wonder Egg Priority, which is a wholly original anime, had production issues and had to wrap up its series in an OVA. The list can go on and on and on. At the end of the day, I think people forget that anime is part of a business, a larger business that incorporates Japan as a country and tourism and buying things and consumerism. And at the end of the day, their main goal is to make some yen. If they're gonna make an anime off a series, it better pay up. How well do shoujo series sell? Not just in manga, but in merchandising. How well can a character sell a product? How many people will buy an item with that series name on it? With the lack of manpower, companies are seriously considering all these aspects when determining whether to make a series animated or not. And the anime that does sell well gets multiple seasons, it gets movies, it gets merchandise, DVDs, video games, fashion, clothing, it gets advertisement deals and collaborations with companies, and it gets art halls and exhibits in Japan, and it gets all of this stuff that helps it to continue selling and making money. The reason that UFO Table only works on Demon Slayer and a little bit on Fate series is because Demon Slayer brings in the dough. And also they need to make sure that they stay on the good side because they avoided paying taxes for a while, allegedly. In the US particularly, companies pay the highest amount for anime than any other country. There's these major bidding wars between major companies like Netflix and Crunchyroll for series that they know will bring in audiences. Of course, popular manga series are going to make for popular anime to an extent, which is why so many popular manga series are getting adapted. However, when you look at the ones that are getting adapted, it tends to be mostly shonen series that are getting adaptations. Chainsaw Man coming out in 2022. Bleach is making a comeback in 2022. There's Blue Lock. Coley touches on how some shoujo manga series sell higher than their shonen counterparts, how they're just like selling way more than these shonen series that are continuing to get multiple seasons. But I have to combat that and say that profitability and marketability don't mean just being able to sell manga alone. Manga is a huge part of it, yes, but there's all this other content and things behind the scenes that we kind of glance over because manga and anime are so synonymous with one another. If an anime can sell video game really well, that makes it super profitable because companies want something that can continue to make more money. That's why Universal series sell so well, because the more they can appeal to a broader audience, a bigger audience, the more that they are likely to buy stuff. And specific dedicated fan series like Shonen and Seinen series, which have really huge fan bases that will buy almost anything, are super important because they know that they can rely on them to buy for the series. I'm not saying that shoujo or josei fans aren't dedicated, like not in the least, because Sailor Moon is a approximately $14 billion company overall in the past 3 or 4 decades since its run back in the 80s. And this is also seen with series like Precure, which has made over $7 billion. But unfortunately, that's only half as high as the highest grossing shonen series, Dragon Ball Z, at $30 billion. And that's cool and great and all, but what about romance series? How profitable are romance series? I don't really know. And the internet doesn't seem to know, because I had a really hard time trying to figure out how profitable romance series are, or how profitable any series that's not over $1 billion is, because a lot of these articles that are written about anime and how much they make and how much they gross tend to only focus on those who have made over $1 billion and kind of put to the wayside those who are in the millions. So let's see if we could figure out how profitable romance anime in particular is. So far, Fruits Basket seems to be one of the highest and best-selling romance shoujo anime and manga series. It sold over 30 million plus copies, and the movie alone made about $1.2 million in Japan. So just those two things combined, it has made several millions of dollars, not even including merchandise and DVD sales and other collaborations that could have gone on for the series. Comparing a couple million to a billion seems like a huge distance. But to be fair, there's not really any other romance anime that is making numbers like this. The live drama of a shoujo series named Hana Yori Dango or Boys Over Flowers made approximately $83.5 million in box office tickets alone back in 2008, which kind of leads to this idea that, yeah, shoujo and romance series are better as live action series, which Colleen actually does a really good job of debunking. Like I said, go watch that video if you want to learn more about live action and drama series and how it relates to the popularity of shoujo anime and manga. But let's talk about why shoujo series, when adapted, are not very long and not as well animated as their shonen counterpart. The main reason is that companies may have seen potential in these series to gather fan bases and to make a profit, but demand on the anime industry hindered their growth, hindered their popularity, and their ability to reach those audiences, because lots of production teams are kind of just thrown together. They're usually working on multiple projects at the same time, including really high-end important series like Attack on Titan. We've all seen how that director looks. He does not look great at all. I don't completely believe that studios and publishing companies have given up on adapting romance anime and shoujo romances and josei romances. I just think that they are putting it to the wayside because if it's not going to be immediately profitable, it's not going to make a big impact in the industry, if it's not going to help expand the audience, then they're not going to do it. Which at the end of the day could still just be an excuse, because as we've all know and seen, there are many, many series that have been adapted that are just awful. Like maybe they're just awful in stories, like these redundant isekais that we get every single season that people just love to eat up for some reason, or they are just not very well animated at all. It's like a wonder why these companies are even making these productions. Sometimes it's pressures from US companies like Crunchyroll and Netflix to do original series and be a part of the production process and therefore try to find whatever people they can round up to make a series for them really quick so they can make a couple bucks. At the end of the day, shoujo and josei anime series are dying, and it kind of seems bleak, like there's nothing we can do about it. It seems like there's a bias towards them just not being adapted as often because they're not geared towards these audiences that companies know are paying well. And it's sad, because if it was just for the fact that the industry is moving away from like more binary approach to creating content and being more general and like more accepting of other people and their stories, then it would be like, cool, that's great, that's awesome. But that does not seem to be the case. As I said before, fans could be the reason that shoujo anime is possibly dying, but they could also be the reason that it could make a huge comeback. We continue to buy up all of our favorite shoujo romance manga series. We continue to show that we are just as profitable as any of the shonen seinen series out there. We put in numbers by watching legally and reading legally these shows and manga that are coming out that are really doing well, then companies are going to be more likely to try to produce an anime for these and continue the popularity of them. For example, you can watch upcoming shoujo and josei manga series like Our Happy Marriage and Skip to Loafer, which are coming out sometime in 2022 and 2023. A part that I didn't really get to touch on in this video, but hopefully we'll do in another video, is the fact that shoujo doesn't just encompass stories geared towards girls. It also showcases lots of other stories, including like boys love, girls love, and talking about gender identities and things like that, and how that often gets overlooked in a lot of anime for like shitty, awful reasons. But if we continue to support these series alongside our shoujo series by just buying the manga and reading them and talking about them and giving them a space for people to go and find them, like series like Our Dreams at Dusk and Boys Run the Riot, then I think that companies will again have to pay attention. And hopefully we can get more series that are done with respect and have individuality and tell individual stories and are still showcasing different aspects of people's lives that are not just generally loved and adored and are not just geared towards a specific male fantasy fan base. Why do you think shoujo anime is dying? Do you agree or disagree with any of the reasons that I gave in this video? What are your thoughts? I want to hear them in the comments down below. Again, if you have not watched the video yet, please go check out Colleen's Manga Rex video, The Decline of Shoujo Anime. It'll be in the comment and the description down below. And yeah, as always, my name is Phoenix and I dive into the visual world of storytelling in anime and sometimes manga on a weekly basis. If you want more videos like this, for example, I'm going to do a deep dive on the universal storytelling of anime and how it's kind of a problem and talk about the race of anime characters and kind of this whole debate that has been going on for many decades in the anime community. Check that out by subscribing by clicking my cute little icon somewhere over here on the screen. Check out some more videos that you might want to watch. Thank you so much for sticking around, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.